You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
I will say this, if maybe you're here today and you just heard that song, you know, I pray that you're coming to Jesus today, not just to church. I pray that you're coming to the Lord today, and maybe you're that one today that's wondering if you could be accepted in the Lord's sight. And He would say to you today that you can be. He died for you. He shed His blood for your sins. And so I pray that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, that you would not leave today without getting to know Him. We always have a prayer team up front that will gladly show you from the Scriptures, not from religion, not from denomination, but show you from the Scriptures what they say about how we can become a child of God and receive that gift of salvation that cleanses us, you and me, from all of our sins. I think about that worship song that we sung, God is good. Raise your hand if you agree with that statement. You know, but what I really like about that song is God is good to me. I like how it makes it personal, right? It makes it so personal. And so praise the Lord for the worship this morning. God is so good to us. I will say this, couple thoughts, couple updates. So you see this slide behind me. I wanted to get it out before you. We are going to have our revival. It's a very reflective time that we come together as a church and we say, God, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me, O God. Hey, cleanse me. Hey, set my path on the right path. And I challenge everybody every year, you have to be here. You have to be here for this. It's a time as a church where we reflect on, hey, where we're at personally, growing closer to the Lord. It's a Sunday, Monday, and a Tuesday night. We're having Tim O'Donnell come. And if you've not heard him before, I promise God has rested on that man in a special way. And he was here about 3 years ago. The last 2 years, Pastor Toole has been here, but I would challenge you, set that time aside now. Block those times off. Plan to be here. Invite a family member, a friend, but plan to be here for those dates. We're in an exciting time here at the church because, you know, the sun's coming, the grass is growing, and who's actually noticed the foundation over there that you can see it now. Lord willing, we're going to have some movement here. We're having another meeting again today. We got some more details. You're going to start seeing some movement. Hopefully, we're going to start seeing crews here within the next month or so to begin to hopefully get this building erected and up. But remember, we still have the need for the insulation package and the window package. The window package is $39,000. The insulation package is $42,000. We have the money to erect the building, but we need the insulation package and the window package. And so if the Lord would lay that on your heart to contribute towards that, maybe some may be able to say, hey, I can buy the insulation package for $42,000, or I can pay for the windows, or I can give a large chunk towards that. If that's something that God has blessed you to be able to do, I would challenge you, hey, you're giving to the Lord, yes, through the church, but to the future of Brimley Baptist Church here for the kingdom work that God has called us to do. And that's to point people to Christ. That's to make room for that next person that's going to come through the door. This is the 9 o'clock service. This is the light service. The 11 o'clock service is the full service. And so we have a whole nother service full of people. And I will say this, be mindful of where you sit and how you sit. I'm going to ask you, instead of in the future when you come in, try not to leave space in between the pews, because as people come in, chances are as new families come in, if they get here late or something like that, it's going to be really hard for them to walk all the way up front and to sit in those, especially if they've never been here. Just the awkward factor. Can anybody relate with that? Okay, and then if you would, you know, maybe you're here today, scoot up a little bit. Leave the back row for people who maybe come in last. Don't be afraid. My spit doesn't reach that far, so it's you're good. But be conscious of those things as the Lord grows His church. Just be conscious of that. And so, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7, the greatest sermon ever preached. Matthew chapter number 7. So we're going next chapter, next verse. And I love God's timing. You know, he puts things in their proper timing. And so be mindful of that as we walk through it. It's the very next chapter, very next verse. And the title today of the message is this: don't be judgy. Don't be judgy. Is anybody in here like to be judged by other people? Raise your hand. I didn't think that was a popular thing that you were like, yeah, I like to be judged by other people. I like it when judgy people judge me. And so don't be judgy. This is what the Lord's talking about today. And so I'll read this and we'll jump into it. Jesus speaks directly today to one of the deepest sins of the human heart, the desire to condemn others while excusing ourselves. It started in the Garden of Eden, did it not? It's not my fault, Lord. It's your fault because you gave me Eve, and that's why I ate the... It's something that we, it's deep within us. In Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5, he exposes the hypocrisy of a person who can easily see the smallest fault in someone else, yet remain blinded to the massive sin in their own life. We are quick to criticize, quick to speak, quick to judge, but we're slow to fall on our knees before God and deal with our own hearts. Christ's words are sharp because the danger is real. A judgmental spirit can make a person look righteous on the outside while remaining spiritually blinded on the inside. The Pharisees looked more righteous than they ought, than everyone else, but they were literally blinded on the inside. Jesus highlights this. Before we look at anyone else today, Jesus challenges us to first look within. Jesus calls us to first let God search us. It's going to be a convicting one. Let's pray. Lord God, I love you, and I thank you for your perfect word. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this perfect sermon. Words can't describe just the summation of everything in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Lord. And I pray that you would hide me behind your cross. I pray that my humanity wouldn't get in the way of your perfect word, Lord God, but that your word and your spirit would go forth today, convict, enlighten, encourage, challenge. Lord, I pray that today your spirit would open our eyes, that your spirit would search our hearts, that your spirit would examine the reality of our minds and of our hearts, that we would not be as the blind person that looks at another, judging them for the very things that we do ourselves. Lord God, be with us today. Lord God, challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Write it down. Number one, the warning against judging others. The warning against judging others in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1. Look at it with me, would you? Judge not that ye be not judged. Hey, read that with me, would you? Judge not that ye be not judged. Jesus begins with a serious warning about having a judgmental spirit. When we consistently sit in judgment over others, we place ourselves in a dangerous position before God. Write down A, why we shouldn't judge because we are not judges. We shouldn't judge because we are not judges. Jesus warns us against acting as though we are the final authority over others. Unlike God, our vision is limited, it's flawed, and often influenced by pride, emotions, or a personal bias. In James chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says this: speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. James identifies when we condemn and judge another person, we step into a very dedicated seat that only belongs truly to one, and that's the Lord. We step into this place of judgment as though we are the judge, as though we have created the law. And James would say, don't do that. but a judge. When we step into that position of judging our brother, of speaking evil against our brother, we step into the place of a judge. And James would identify, there is only one lawgiver. There is only one that deserves that spot. Who is able to save and able to destroy? Hey, that's the Lord. That's not you. That's not me. Who art thou, James would say, that judgest another? Who are you to look at another sinner and point out their sin when you have your own sin? It's like one piece of dirt looking at another piece of dirt and saying, hey, you're a piece of dirt. I mean, how foolish is that? It's something we snicker and we laugh at, but it's comical. Only God sees the full picture. Only God knows the heart. We are all called to obey the law, not sit above it as judges. B, the way we judge others will absolutely return to us. The way we judge others, the way we condemn others, the way we lash out on others, it will come back to, I don't want to use the word haunt us, but it will come back upon us. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 2. For with what judgment ye judge, okay, so you want to be that judge, you want to judge over another person, you want to condemn another person, okay, this is fine. Look at what Jesus says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Hey, how you judge is the way that you will be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus reminds us that the law of sowing and reaping applies to our attitude towards others. That phrase when he says it shall be measured to you again, it's talking about sowing and reaping. When a farmer goes out there, he's not sowing sparingly. He's sowing graciously, abundantly, and here he's using this law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you go out there and you sow apples or apple seeds, what are you going to get? You're going to get apple seeds. If you go out there and you sow oranges, you're going to get orange trees or apple trees. You know what I'm trying to say. If you go out there and you're judging people all the time, guess what's going to come back at you? Judgment. But if you go out there and you learn to extend mercy and grace and love to other people, guess what? When you mess up, guess what you're going to get back? That love, that mercy, that grace that you've extended to others. Hey, with what measure you meet, hey, that same measure is going to come back to you. If we constantly criticize and condemn and show no mercy, we should not be surprised when the same spirit returns to us. James chapter 2, verse 13 would say, for he, talking about God, for he shall have judgment without mercy to the person who's not willing to show mercy, to the person who's only willing to condemn, to criticize, to judge. That same person, I like what James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. Hey, we want to go to the Lord and say, Father, forgive us, but yet we don't want to give mercy to others. James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. We see the opposing of judgment is mercy, and the Lord is telling us through Scripture consistently, show people mercy because you are in the same predicament as they are. We're all flawed. I can't stand up here today and say, hey, I'm perfect. You need to listen. No, we're all flawed. We're all sinners. And if we're not careful, our carnal nature, which the same nature that got into Adam and Eve as they pointed their finger at one another in the garden, well, it's their fault. It's this person's fault. It never would be my fault. My child is never to blame. A judgmental spirit produces harshness, but a heart changes. A judgmental spirit produces harshness, but a heart changed by Christ produces mercy. And so, point number two, the command. So as Jesus walks through this, the command to judge yourself. Hey, he's not saying don't judge. He's not saying, hey, don't evaluate. He's just saying you're evaluating the wrong person is what you're doing. The command to judge yourself. Instead of focusing on everyone else's failures, Jesus commands us to examine our own hearts first. Write down first under that is change your focus. Change your focus. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 3, right here in the text. And why beholdest thou the mote? So what is a mote? Basically, it's talking about a finite splinter or a piece of dust, like a speck, like a particle. It can barely be seen. You know what I'm saying? Who's in here ever cut wood before? It's kind of like sawdust. You get something in your eye, you know, you rub it enough. You know, it's not something you necessarily have to have surgery to be able to remove it, you know? He says, and why beholdest thou the mote? He's talking to that person that wants a judge. He says, why beholdest thou the mote or the speck that is in thy brother's eye? So I'm looking at, hey, man, this person over here, Zach, he's got lots of issues in his life. And so I'm looking, there's a ongoing thing. Zach is a troublemaker, so I'm just calling him out on that. No, I'm just kidding. I love Zach. You'd have to be here on a Wednesday night to understand where we're going with that. But anyhow, you know, I go and highlight another person, so I'm highlighting Zach's issues. And why beholdest thou the mote or the speck that is in thy brother's eye? I'm highlighting the issues in another person's eye, but then Jesus says, but considerest not, you haven't even taken a moment to consider maybe you're part of the problem. It says, but considerest not the beam. Now, a beam is a lot different here than a splinter, a beam. That's going to pretty much obscure my view if I have a beam in my face, would it not? If I have a beam in my eye, it says here, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. See, self-righteous people are often experts at spotting fault in others while remaining blind to their own issues. You know, Luke 18 gives us a perfect example of this. This person who really, honestly, wholeheartedly, like legit, thought himself to be righteous. In Luke 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. He's blinded. This guy is literally blinded to his own issues, that he could stand before God. And I hear people say all the time, well, I prayed about it. That doesn't mean that you necessarily have clear sight. He says here in Luke 18, 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. Maybe you know this story. There's a publican and there's a Pharisee, this self-righteous fellow here. He says, the Pharisee stood and prayed within himself, God, I thank you that I'm not as other men, an extortioner, unjust, or adulterers. And then he pinpoints, or even as this publican. It's the guy next to him. Like, it's getting real personal. It's like, I'm glad I'm not like you all, and I'm really glad I'm not like him. I've met people that's literally told me stuff like this, and I'm like, man, you're missing it. You're really missing it. This guy thought he was, like, righteous, which it goes to say to us, beware before coming at anybody else until you have a real heart-to-heart with the Lord, where you can truly seek the Lord to examine your own hearts. Because a lot of time we go to find fault in others when we've never addressed our own sin within ourselves. We understand who went justified away that day. It was not this man who was self-righteous judging others. It was the publican who was expected. And by his life, some people would say, well, he could look and you could judge and point out all these different things in his life. But God says he's the one that walked away justified. The other guy who looked good is the one who walked away condemned. Do you see what the scriptures are saying here? The Pharisee compared himself to others instead of honestly examining himself before God. It's easy to become consumed with other people's failures while ignoring your own spiritual condition. I want you to think about this. We are not called to judge each other. We are called to love each other. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say, you are called to judge each other. But he does say, hey, you are called to love each other. But we get it wrong sometimes, don't we? When someone is always focused on the faults of others, this is a good litmus test. It may reveal a deeper issue in their own heart that they have a beam, or you or I have a beam in our eye when we're constantly finding fault in other people. Because when we have the eyes of Christ, last time I checked, he could have hung from that cross and could have said all kind of condemning things and been 100% right. But you know what he said, Steve? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the right set of eyes. That's the clear set of eyes that doesn't have a speck or a beam in them. B, identify your own issues. So change your focus. Stop worrying about everybody else. That's what I tell my kids all the time. I don't care what so-and-so did or what so-and-so's doing. It doesn't matter. You're not their kids. You're my kids. Stop worrying about everybody else. It's easy for us to worry about everybody else. So focus, change your focus, but then B, identify your own issues. Nobody in this room is perfect. Raise your hand if you agree with that statement. There's a few of us. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 4. Look at it. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, "Let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye"? Hey, let me tell you what's wrong with your life. This is what's wrong with your life. That's basically what he's saying. Let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Hey, would anybody want a surgeon to do surgery blindfolded on you? How successful do you think a blindfolded surgeon would be to remove something surgically out of you? Not very successful, would we agree on that? That is what he's kind of highlighting here. It's kind of comical because you're completely blinded, but yet you want to go and do a surgical procedure and pinpoint somebody else's problem. Jesus paints the picture of someone trying to fix another person while being spiritually blinded themselves. Before we try to correct others, we must allow God to first search us. We sing the song often, Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and what? Know my heart. You know, sometimes we're praying, but we don't ever ask God to search our heart. And then we have to understand our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I love that very next part. It is God that searches the heart. But are we listening long enough to say, "Hey, God, I need to hear. I need you to show me if my heart's upside down or inside out about this issue. I need you to show me if there's a bias, if there's a pride in me." Because we're real good at not seeing the real issues inside of our hearts. It takes somebody who truly wants to see what God wants to show us. And because sometimes it's not comfortable. Why do men love darkness? Because their deeds are evil. When we have to come face to face, you know what? I've been judging all these people, but here I myself is the issue. You know, I had somebody tell me a long time ago, you know, when you point three fingers at somebody, when you point a finger at somebody else, you have three fingers pointing back at you. Psalms 139, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, we could be completely righteous one day before God, not allowing sin to live in our lives, but the next day our flesh gets the best of us and we've allowed sin to creep in and we need to go back to the Lord. This isn't just a yearly prayer. This is a prayer we could literally pray every day. Lord, search me. Before I leave this house, search me. Show me. Help me. I like Psalm 26 even better when he says, examine me. Like, I need you to do a real strong examination on my heart. I need you to look, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and know my heart. Without honest self-examination, we become fault finders instead of faithful followers of Christ. And the last thing we need at Brimley Baptist Church is more people finding fault. The devil does a great job at that himself. He's literally accused. He literally is called the accuser of the brethren. He stands before God. Accusing. Hey, did you see what Billy did? Hey, did you see what so-and-so did? Hey, it's all fake. It's all for show. That's the devil's mindset. That's his heart. And we don't need more fault finders. We need more followers of Christ who are going to say, hey, man, you're struggling with this. Let me come alongside of you and help you, man. I know what that feels like. I've been there. You know, it's a whole lot different than, hey, man, you need to change this. You need to do this. This is just terrible. And so a person who never deals with their own sin will constantly point out the sin of others. You got to evaluate your own heart. Am I always looking at other people, whether it's in my family, whether it's in my circle, whether it's at my job, whether it's in the church? Am I always finding fault with other people? Is there a week goes by where I'm not pointing my finger at somebody else saying, yeah, you know, judging them? Change your focus, identify your beam, but then see, remove what is blocking your vision. Remove what is blocking your vision. Look at verse number 5. Thou hypocrite. Man, that's pretty harsh. But it's true. It's true. Jesus is saying, thou hypocrite. Who's he talking to? The person that judges another but doesn't deal with himself. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Jesus uses strong language because hypocrisy damages both our witness and our relationship with others. You know, this person from church was going to judge me about doing this, and I seen them out here over in the parking lot doing this, or I seen the person. It might not be the same thing. But oftentimes, you know, we can judge other people for one thing and we do something different and they see us and it creates an air of hypocrisy. Romans chapter 2 verse 1 would say this, thou therefore, we're studying through this and on Sunday night, man, I would challenge you, hey, you should be a part if you're not connected. Sunday night, Romans. Romans chapter 2 verse 1 would say this, therefore thou art inexcusable. I wonder who's he talking to. Who's inexcusable? Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Why? For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. We're pointing out the sin of another person, but yet it just highlights that we ourselves are sinful. James talks about in James chapter 2, verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Well, that person over there committed murder, but yet you're over here and you're committing adultery, but you're pointing your finger over here at this person that did this. Or, oh, well, it's just a little white lie. I can go out here and do this or this. And here he's talking about we highlight the sin of one person while committing another sin. Literally, it's all sin and we've broken the whole law. The whole law, James chapter 2, verse 10 says. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Hey, challenge yourself to extend mercy instead of judgment. Even one sin makes us guilty before Jesus. None of us stand righteous on our own merit. Jesus makes the order clear. Deal with your own sin first. Then you will be able to help others with humility, grace, and clarity. Romans chapter 14, verse 4 and 12 and 13 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So then, every one of us, and I love this because it brings back, when I stand before God, I have to give an account for myself. I'm not giving account for what you did or what they did. I have to give an account for what I did. And so therefore, worry about what you are doing before the Lord. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man putting a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. This is talking about the guy who judges his brother because of his some of his decisions that aren't necessarily sin, but another person might not agree with. Let's put it that way. Our responsibility is not to condemn people, but to help them while making sure we are not becoming a stumbling block ourselves. You know, there's two clear takeaways today. And maybe the Holy Spirit's put more on your heart, but I will say this today. The first takeaway is each one of us in this room If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, a daily relationship with the Lord, chances are, if you don't have a daily relationship with the Lord, walking through the Word of God, getting your eyesight cleaned, chances are you have judgment in your life towards other people. Chances are. Because the only way we see clearly is if we walk through the Word daily. That's all there is to it. The only clear set of eyes we have are the ones that the Lord gives us. And if we're not having a daily relationship with the Lord, chances are there's judgment in our life. Secondly, if we don't have a relationship with the Lord, chances are we're not going to be praying in Scripture. But the first thing I want you to do application-wise is ask God to search your heart daily. Before criticizing others, ask God to reveal your own attitudes, sins, and blind spots. You know, a practical way to apply this is literally pray Psalms 139. Pray it. Lord, I come to you today and I ask that you would search me. I ask that you would search my heart and see if there's any deceit in my heart, if there's any sin in my heart that maybe I'm missing, maybe I'm glossing over while pointing my finger at another person. Pray. Pray and ask the Lord to search your heart. Is there pride in my heart? Am I holding on to bitterness? Am I showing mercy to others? But the second thing is, replace criticism with compassion. Remember, with what measure you meet, that same measure is going to be meted unto you again, Jesus says in verse number 2. Instead of looking for fault in people, look for ways to encourage them. Pray for them, and if they've fallen, restore them. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, be careful of bringing down judgment. In Galatians 6, 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, hey, I'm spiritual, then the Bible says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, unless if you fall into the same predicament that they're in. Be careful. Be cautious, the Lord says. You know, practical ways would be this. Before speaking negatively about someone, pray for them. It's amazing. We'll go to other people and we'll talk this way and we'll belittle this way. But we won't get on our knees and actually go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you're the only one that can get to the heart of the matter. And even if it's, Lord, I pray that you deal with them. I pray that you open their eyes, whatever it might be. But going to the one who can correct you and them without you ever saying a word, because God sees far more than you and I will ever see. We think we have a full picture and a chance. We don't. There's so much we can't see in this life. Consider your own weakness. Speak words that build up instead of words that tear down. You know, if I could put a verse over the door in the back, I love Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Just like Jesus has done for us. You know what he did? He gave us this word to build us up, to edify, to strengthen us with his words. Our life should reflect the same character of Christ. Are we tearing down? A mature believer is not known by how well they expose fault. And I've had people literally think, oh, I could see right through it. Discerning, and there's discerning value. There truly is. But a mature believer isn't just about finding fault. Well, I find fault here and this and this and this. Hey, I can see what nobody else sees. A mature believer is not known by how well they expose fault, but how well they reflect the mercy and love of Christ. That identifies a mature believer. See, the Pharisees were real good about going about following the letter of the law. They're tithing to the letter of the law. Man, they're doing all these things. But the Lord highlights and says, you know what? Guys, listen, you're missing the greater love and mercy. These ought ye not to have left off. What wilt thou require of me? Here's what the Lord doth require of thee, O man. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. You can't sit in a place of judgment and walk humbly with your God. You know, today I don't know how the Lord spoke to you, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, my wife, she's going to come sit at the piano. She's going to play for us. But I want you to pray in. Even now at this moment, sometimes things can creep in unaware and we don't even realize it. That's why I think Scripture tells us, the psalmist tells us, maybe we all should pray right now, Lord God, search my heart. Lord, search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Maybe we need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for being so judgmental of other people. Lord, I got my own issues. It's a real struggle for me not to see other people's faults, Lord, but help me with this. You know, the Lord wants to help you with that. You know, when the Lord sees you, he doesn't see all of your sin, child of God. He sees a son and daughter that's been washed in the blood. Why do we see each other sometimes as sinners? Why do we identify and point out and just highlight each other's faults and the little specks in our lives? When the Lord says, he doesn't even see us that way. You know, but maybe there's even a greater thing here. There is absolutely a call to salvation here. You know, today maybe the greatest thing God wants to show you isn't someone else's sin, but it's your own sin and your own need for a Savior. Have you spent so much time judging others that you've never honestly faced your own need for Jesus yourself? You're so looking at everybody else around you. You know, to the Lord, today the Lord would say to you, hey, stop judging others and deal with yourself and identify your need for me as your Savior, Jesus would say. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after me. Maybe today you need to go to the one judge, the true judge, and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Salvation begins when we stop pointing at others and humbly surrender ourselves to Christ. I don't know how the Lord spoke to you today, but pray it in as the worship team comes. Lord God, I love you. And Lord, I'm thankful for your word because I know sometimes I've stood in the wrong place at many times. Lord, I'm grateful for the grace and the mercy that you extended to me in those times. Lord, allowing me to see that, Lord God, I have my own issues. Lord, and I do pray before you today that you would search my heart. Lord God, search my motives. Examine me and see. Lord, that when you look at my life, I pray that it would reflect your image, not mine. Lord God, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of your people that only you can do. And I pray that today we would definitely not walk out of here blinded today, but I pray that through looking at your word, that we would look into the perfect mirror, the law of your liberty, Lord, and then may it reflect on us the things that are out of place in our life, that we can truly see your word, take it at face value, Lord God, and seek you to help us to not stand in that place of judgment, but to humble ourselves before you. Lord God, I pray that you bless your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.